This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like,
whatever, dude.
Hey! Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand. You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
He set foot in America one fine October day. Sailing into Baltimore, well, everything's okay. New buttons on your jacket. Shining like a brand new diamond, glistening in the sunlight, blistering my eyes. When you said that you loved me, I knew it wasn't true. I've 100 unread messages, but not a single note from you.
You know, there's a theme that we talk about in conservative world that is media bias. We talk about this all the time. We talk about it not just in TV news, but in all areas of news, and not even news, really. Beyond that, it's the way Hollywood presents a very well-told, expensive story to make everything seem real shiny on whatever issue that they want to tell. These are things that are very, very common themes in conservative media. And it's for a reason. It's because there's so much power in shaping the narrative. It's very rare to find a corporation, and this is the difference between conservative media, because it's not as if there is no conservative media or left-leaning media. It's that we refer to the mainstream media as leftist biased, whereas conservative media is kind of its own different lane. So it's very, very rare to find a corporation that has multiple media endeavors or communications endeavors that also carries a conservative lane. So in that sense, I'm very much praising Odyssey and other radio companies that are willing to do that, because it really is about the only place you can find a corporate structure that allows a conservative voice to be among voices. The other conservative voices that you find are individual conservative companies. That's their whole identity, is that they're conservative. Daily Wire, for instance, Breitbart, you know, these companies, Conservative Brief, I think that is something that's associated with Dinesh D'Souza, or he is associated with them somehow. These are companies that their whole identity is that they're conservative. Now, Daily Wire is trying to do other things. They've started a children's programming division, but it's all with that same mindset, that same ideology that guides them. Whereas you have other corporations who their goal isn't necessarily to be conservative or really political at all. In fact, the less political a company claims to be, the more likely they are to go with the leftist narrative because it's easier, because you don't get criticized as much for leaning left as you do if you have a lean right program among your stations or among your outlets or whatever. Great example of this. A couple days ago, I'm flipping through and I've got several big streaming companies that I subscribe to. Netflix, Disney Plus, Peacock, Paramount. And then, of course, I watch a lot of the free ones. Tubi, Crackle, Redbox has free stuff on there now. I've talked to Chris Woolsey about that a couple weeks ago if you want to hear that podcast. And other ones, too. Freevee, which is owned by Amazon, but I don't have Prime. So I got a lot of them, and I bounce all over the place, and sometimes I'll cancel one while I have another, and vice versa, and Apple Plus, and you know all this stuff. So I'm just saying this because I view a lot of these streaming programs because I have a variety of tastes, and you can only get so many things per each one. So I'm flipping through Peacock the other night, and I find an ad, because I bought the cheap version that still has ads. The cheap version was showing me an ad about a program, a different show on Peacock that's called like Jen Psaki Live or something like that. Now, I don't know if Jen Psaki has multiple shows or if he just has that one show and it's on MSNBC and then also simulcast on Peacock. I could see that probably being the case. But I just know it's Jen Psaki's show that's on Peacock, and they're advertising it. They want you to watch it. They want me to watch it. I'm not going to do that, but I do pull clips from Jen Psaki and her show once in a while. This one actually came from the Annie Fry show this week. I'm going to play it and then make a point. Now listen to the point of the clip, of course, and we'll talk about that a little bit, but there's a bigger point to be made here.
You heard that right. The Bible doesn't just inform his worldview, it is his worldview. In fact, during his first speech in his new job, Johnson suggested that his election as speaker was an act of God. Talk about a bit of a humble brag there. So what exactly has God apparently called on Mike Johnson to do? Well, his views on policy are essentially what you'd expect from a religious fundamentalist. They're more divisive than they are divine.
He believes in the Bible, and therefore he is a religious fundamentalist. I mean, just get used to it. If you're a Christian, you've probably heard that many times in your life. I have. People call you a religious person, and sometimes they mean it positively, and a lot of times they mean it negatively. If they add fundamentalist, they usually mean it negatively. That is some real deep spin there on this person's a Christian. He has a biblical worldview. Shock that people have this in today's America, but here we are. You know, Jen Psaki just dripping with derision. So the clip aside, which I, you know, a lot to say about the clip. Maybe we'll play that actually when Roy comes in a minute here and talk about it. We've got a lot to discuss. But the bigger point here is that can you imagine a mainstream outlet, Netflix, for instance, or Disney, or Peacock, or Paramount, the ones that I mentioned, Apple Plus, any of those, having ads that you're watching a program, stops the movie, you know, pauses, you watch three ads, it counts down the 30 seconds for each one, and one of them is for a program that Netflix is offering now with the former Trump press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, or Sarah Huckabee Sanders, for that matter. Yeah, it's just a show, just for her to explain her views and talk about news. And it's presented with a nice set, a lot of money behind it, got some good producers. And she's just there talking. She has guests on. She's explaining a conservative, maybe even Christian worldview there on Netflix. Can you imagine that happening? Of course you can't imagine that happening, because it never happens. Never. In fact, I use Netflix as an example because they have a huge agreement with the Obamas. And, of course, Hollywood in general shares a very leftist viewpoint. So when we talk about mainstream media being biased, this is a fantastic example of that. This is a mainstream outlet. I'm watching Peacock not because I want to watch Jen Psaki, and I won't, but because I want to watch random shows on there that I think are cool. I started watching The Purge. Don't necessarily love The Purge, but I started watching the show. And randomly, I was waiting, if I ever filled in for Annie on a Thursday, to tell Tyrus that I had seen him in The Purge. Yeah, if you watch that on Peacock, Tyrus shows up for like two episodes. He's a bouncer. I think they probably shot him out in one day, and then he's in two episodes of The Purge. But, you know, just watching the same kind of shows that you watch. And then included in those shows is not just ideology, but also ads for hard political ideology, but it's all leftist. That's what mainstream media is. And there is no real conservative voice within corporate media outside of radio. Whereas all conservative media is existent in its own bubble. So you almost have to seek it out. Whereas liberal news, you don't have to seek it out. It's kind of out there everywhere. That's why they call it the mainstream, because it's readily available to everybody. Whereas if you want to find a different viewpoint on COVID or a different viewpoint on national or international issues, you have to seek them out to find conservative viewpoints. Now, last point I want to make about this issue, because I think it's just important to kind of take a step back and address why we talk about mainstream news so much. And I just thought this was such a good example, this Peacock thing with Jen Psaki's show. It's important to take that step back and then look at the way the media landscape is handling the big issues of the day. Well, what's the biggest issue facing the world in the last month? It's Israel. It's the Middle East conflict. It's the tale as old as time that continues and how it's being handled. I will say this, all the mainstream media news that I have watched, and I've watched a little bit more in the last month than I usually do, it has been pretty united. Not entirely. You'll hear the clips when they're not. Trust me, we're grabbing them. But it has been pretty united in favor of Israel. Will that last? I don't know. I talked a couple weeks ago, I think I opened the show with, hey, this is not necessarily going to be forever. When Israel, and that hadn't happened at the time, when Israel starts having to make very difficult decisions based on the terror attack that they received, you're going to see people turn. And you have seen that. But the mainstream narrative really hasn't turned. Is that a good thing? Is it good when the mainstream, like all the media, right and left, is pretty much united on an issue? Well, I guess it depends on the issue, doesn't it? Because in this sense, it is a good thing. When it comes to vaccine mandates or vaccine whatever, the COVID era, when you saw all the media saying the same thing, you'd go, no, I got to find something else here. I don't really like what you're selling me. So I think it very much depends on the issue. We'll talk about that question and many more. There's a lot to discuss. Old Roy, our favorite Roy of all the Roys, the Old Roy, who's coming in next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Old Roy is here. We're gonna talk about a couple of things here. We're also gonna have Trisha come in the next break, and we're gonna do serious questions, lighten things up a little bit. That's why we call it serious questions.
That's right.
It's so light.
Mm-hmm.
But first, I want to mention just that big question that I was just talking about a minute ago: the media being united for Israel. I said that. And I want to know if you agree with that. Is the media right now united for Israel in the United States?
I don't watch a lot of media.
Good for you.
Or partake in a lot of media. But I do think, to a certain extent, yes. I think that's the message we all... It's similar in... I get in trouble for this, but the Russia stuff, everybody, we're just all going to, Putin's bad, so Russia must be bad, so we have to back Ukraine. That was just the conventional wisdom. Everybody follow along and do that. And I think that there's an element of that in the media now with the Israel stuff, and I'm not picking sides here saying...
Yeah, you're just analyzing.
Just analyzing that the default is... Because of what Palestine did, there is no defending it. And so we'd be terrible people if we don't back Israel.
So you just said Palestine. The delineation that everybody is making is that Hamas and Palestinians are different things. Agree or disagree?
Technically, yes. But, I mean, you can't just paint an entire... civilization with one brush. There's a lot of nuance, a lot of variables, but you're talking about a culture. This is something that's always amazed me, that people seem to, when they get into these discussions, ignore the fact that you're dealing with a thousands of years of history.
Yeah.
We grew up in a Judeo-Christian world in the West, and with this mindset that there are some things that just innately are unacceptable because of how we've learned to think about things and how we were brought up. And there are other cultures that didn't have that same experience. And so their traditions, and this is not I'm not justifying anybody's behavior. I'm just saying, acknowledging that everybody's different. That when you're dealing with a culture where something that to us would be horrendous makes sense to them, and vice versa.
Well, I think what you're saying is the only way a Hamas attack is possible, that they have been conditioned to think, yes, this is an appropriate reaction to Israel, to the existence of a Jewish state.
And the whole concept of universal truths of right and wrong, and the, you know, Ten Commandments and good and evil, that has evolved throughout all of human history. And we're dealing with a small window in the larger scope of this, like I said, this Judeo-Christian mentality that is not what has been the universal in the world for most of humankind. So I think it's important that when you discuss these things, that you take that step back, and it's easy, and in a media where it's a soundbite world and you only got 30 seconds to talk about something, you sort of have to make quick right or wrong, good or bad, pick a side. But I think the solutions are actually much more complex, and I hate that we even have to rely on the media
to filter the message.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why they strap GoPros to their head, these Hamas terrorists, so that you could see directly what they did in beheading people.
Right.
I mean, it was disgusting, mm-hmm. and they wanted you to see it. They're like, I'm going to do something horrendous here, and I'm going to tape it, and I'm going to give it to you.
Right.
I mean, it's beyond, I mean, you're kind of talking about morality. It's beyond what I would have thought is possible in the modern world. And yet here we are talking about it. But I guess the only way in which I would like to address, like, going forward from here, because it seems like you're reading a lot more nuance into this than I was expecting, which I think is appropriate when you're trying to find a solution.
Right.
But I honestly don't know what a solution is here. It's not up to me to decide, so that's good. But what... President Biden is not directly responsible for this, but many of the actions of the world superpower and him being the head of the world superpower have led to this.
Mm-hmm.
They've been extremely weak on basically all foreign policy. They go hat in hand to China, begging them to talk. They don't have a firm hand with anybody because they don't really know what they're doing. It doesn't seem that they really know that you can achieve peace through strength,
right,
not peace through appeasement. And so a lot of this stuff is a result of that, although not directly. But what do you do now? I mean, if you're advising Netanyahu, let's say you are the president of the United States and you find yourself in this situation now, like all of a sudden, President Biden dies, Kamala Harris dies, you're third in line. You're the Speaker of the House, apparently. you're Mike Johnson, let's say you are. And you inherit the world, and you now have to solve this. I mean, what do you advise here? Because I honestly don't know.
Well, I think this is why Trump's foreign policy was really underrated and still is, because I think his approach as a businessman was everybody's got their own agenda. Everybody's got their own set of values. And you don't have to agree with them, but you have to acknowledge that they're there when you go into a negotiation, and then you use your leverage. And so this idea that's always bothered me about the left as a solution is always, you know, just put a flower in it and everybody be friends. And that's not reality. I mean, that's the obvious solution. Stop fighting.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing that that's been the talking point? It's like people are searching for something that they can go, well, this would be the solution.
Yeah.
Be damned all the evidence that it wouldn't ever work. But let's call for a ceasefire. Well, who do you think is going to stop firing? Israel.
Right.
You think Hamas is just going to go, oh, okay, we never thought of that.
Right. Right. And that's if you what Trump has done and what Reagan did and what good, strong leaders do is you when you have two sides that don't agree on fundamental values, you have to say, for the good of everybody, to make this stop, I'm going to assert my influence and my leverage and say, it's just going to stop or I'm going to blow y'all up. You know, that
well, that's... I mean, I know what you're saying, because it does seem as if Trump, and I don't even know if he was unique, because you compare Reagan mm-hmm. and even George W. Bush, and to some extent, like Clinton. I mean, some of these guys, they seem to have at least a basic understanding of that, mm-hmm. even if they didn't quite wield it right. But Trump... And I think it's because you had such a dichotomy of a very weak Obama administration internationally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really started the whole, let's just be appeasers. Let's just try to be friends with everybody. And it just doesn't work.
Right.
And so Trump was so much different than Obama that I think we look at him and go, oh, that guy really had it figured out because he stood out so differently. But it's the same principle that's always worked, which is, I'm going to find out what motivates you. I'm going to figure out how to use that to achieve my goals, and then I'm going to use my leverage in getting you to do that. And he uniquely was really good at that, and maybe really good at that again here in a year.
Yeah.
But you didn't quite answer my question, though, because I still don't know what you do here. I mean, what do you advise? And then we'll close.
Well, there isn't the magic bullet. There, like you said, there's not the quick, easy solution. It has to be a top-down change in the approach. So it's there is no way out of this that's going to be quick and easy if everybody is speaking with one voice and we have a clear objective from the top saying, we're stepping in now, Junior, because you can't control yourself. And then once we get everybody calmed down, now we're going to talk. And then that's where you start figuring out the solutions. But you can't figure anything out when people are at each other's throats. And think about it, in all of human nature, you know, you've got the conservatives. We don't want woke people telling us the only way you can be good is if you do what we say. And you've got more liberal-minded people thinking of Christians, you can't tell me how I have to be good. And you've got, nobody's ever talking about the same thing.
I don't know if this is what you're intended by saying this, but Hamas is not going to sit down with you and talk, though.
No, because you're dealing, again, we're coming from the perspective of, well, that's what civilized people do, is they sit down and talk. Well, you're dealing with a culture thousands of years old that it's strictly based on strength.
It's pure strength. It's pure hatred. I mean, these are people who, Iran has said this before, Hezbollah has said this before, I think Hamas has said the same thing, that the goal is not that we find a two-state solution.
Yeah.
The goal is there is no Jew in the Middle East.
Right.
The goal is all these people are dead. You don't negotiate with that.
Right.
You just have to say no.
Yes.
And what does no look like? That's the question.
Exactly.
I think that's where you get to. So we'll pause there. We're going to come back with a little bit lighter stuff as we get away from this deeper conversation for just a moment. Trisha is going to come in, and we will be right back. The grand trio in the room of Old Roy, Trisha, and myself. It is time for Serious Questions. Who's ready to go first?
You call it your show.
Okay, I will call it and I will say Trisha.
Rick Trisha. Rick's my dad's name.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's why I always call you Rick Trisha.
Rick Trisha. That's where that nickname came from. Who knew?
Yep.
Cedar Fair, the parent company of Cedar Point and Six Flags, are in merger talks. Cedar Fair owns 11 amusement parks, including Cedar Point, Canada's Wonderland, Kings Island, Knott's Berry Farm, and Michigan's Adventure.
Ooh.
Six Flags currently has 27 parks. Serious question. What are they going to call this? Cedar Flags, Six Cedar, Flags Fair, Cedar Six Fair Flags, or Flag Six Cedar Fair?
Are you talking about the company or the parks?
What are they going to call the whole thing?
The company.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but really for care. Six Flags, that would change the names of the parks.
Do all 27 Six Flags parks, I didn't know they own that many, are they all called Six Flags?
Yes.
Or do they call them something else?
They're Six Flags, and then
there's an
addition to them.
But I thought they...
There's actually going to be a new one in Saudi Arabia with the world's tallest roller coaster coming soon.
Oh, gosh, I got to go to Saudi Arabia to ride that.
I know. You're a big fan.
Why is everything moving to Saudi Arabia and Qatar?
They have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Is why.
Apparently, start their own PGA.
Mm-hmm.
To answer your serious question, I do not care what the company is called at all. But I am interested in the fact that they are going to own all these theme parks. Hey, have you been to some of those? You've been to Cedar Point?
I've been to Kings Island.
Kings Island.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it was pretty good?
Great.
Mm-hmm. I
thought quality-wise it was better than Six Flags. Close your ears, Six Flags.
What do you mean?
Cleaner, more, I don't know, maybe the layout was a little bit better.
Okay.
Now
goes,
I went.
There goes that show sponsor.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Six Flags. You're great, but.
Let's hope the corporate structure for Kings Island takes over. Because then we
and
can
not
still
the other way around. Yeah.
Because if it's the Six Flags people, that bridge is burned.
Kings Island had a very Disney-esque feel. Their main drag.
So they're a little bit more about the aesthetic.
And
I've always felt like Six Flags kind of didn't. They went more for the thrill rides than they did for the experience of being in the park.
Yeah, but Kings Island had just as many thrills.
But they just focused.
It just
a little
felt
bit more
like
on
the main area felt more downtown Disney than.
And I kind of want to go there.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to go to every single theme park that's ever existed at some point because I love them. But I also think there are probably too many to do that. And I want to focus on the ones that people recommend. So now I'm kind of interested.
That's
I think we've talked about this before, but I kind of forgot about Kings Island. Roy, you want to go next?
Well, you didn't ask my opinion.
Oh, I don't care.
We should call it.
What do you want to call it?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe just, I'd call it Doug.
You want to call it Doug?
Yeah.
D-O-U-G?
Yeah.
Does that stand for anything?
No, I just, that just popped into my head as a potential name.
It's easy to remember.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's it. That wasn't a bad one. That was actually a pretty good, serious
Thanks,
question.
Roy.
You bet.
I don't know that was a great answer.
No, it never is.
I thought it was pretty good. It was an answer.
Can you imagine being like,
at least he answered.
I'm in charge of one of the biggest theme park conglomerates in the world. What's it called? Doug.
That would be free advertisement because people would talk about that incessantly.
I agree with that. It's a smart marketing move.
You're
a businessman,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Gosh. Yeah, you're right again.
Yep. All right, you ready for my dumb one?
Yep.
Okay. Blue City spending millions to clean migrants' laundry. You aware of this?
I mean, it sounds like everything else.
Besides being really clever with their puns, this gives new meaning to money laundering. New York City is shelling out millions of dollars to wash dirty clothes for migrants and local shelters. Free laundry service for migrants is leaving New Yorkers hung out to dry.
I love this.
Local leader said. So, one.
Serious issue, but hilarious puns.
That's right. That's what I mean. Masterclass in puns. A serious question. And no offense, Tricia, but has women's clothing ruined laundry for you? It used to be.
It hasn't for me.
When I was young, it was lights and darks. Boom. You're done. One temperature. You throw it in. You wash it. You dry it. You wear it. I can't keep up. There are things that are. No, it's not darks. There's blues and there's greens and there's not even lights anymore.
But you think that the problem is women's clothing? Because I wash my clothes, shirts and pants. All colors together, all on cold.
Yeah,
shirts,
Roy,
and pants.
Get with the times.
I don't separate lights and darks anymore. But what really grinds my gears are those cargos, the men's cargos, because there are so many opportunities to have like a pen in there or receipt.
Well, that's just part of the fun of it is you never know what you're going to destroy
yeah.
and find. What is hard for me is, what temperature does this one get? And this one you can't dry.
All cold. Everything's
all cold. Roy.
This one you can't dry. That one you can dry, but not all the way. You have to dry it part way, and then you got to pull it out and hang it or stretch it over. It's just too much.
All cold, dry everything on medium.
I dry it on low.
Or low.
Just to be safe.
Yeah.
Dry everything on low, on cold.
I'm not arguing with the fact that maybe you guys have solved this problem. What I'm saying is, for me, set in my old ways, before electricity, it was hot water, lights and darks. And I was comfortable with that, and I don't ever want to change. And the world is forcing me to...
I want to address the fact that you think that men only wear white or black shirts.
No, that's the category.
I'm wearing a rust-colored shirt right now. Where do you
As
put
he
that?
As he often does,
darks.
Rust.
Really?
Because
it's basically
darks.
Orange.
Yeah, darks.
It's like a light orange, though. Are you sure?
You got socks and underwear where your lights, everything else was a dark. Didn't matter the material, the color, anything.
Speaking of Doug, I think you've dug yourself into a hole here.
And oh, the puns.
Add that to your puns.
Oh, nailed it.
Yeah. My turn. Dude ranch vacations are seeing an uptick in popularity with more and more people seeking out a chance to ride horses and get up close and personal with cattle underneath the big sky at a sprawling complex in the western United States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever taken a dude ranch vacation?
I have.
I thought you had.
Mm-hmm.
When did you do that?
Several years ago, we went to Tombstone and we stayed on a dude ranch. And I almost died.
This was before the Duttons, though, right?
Yeah.
In Yellowstone. Because that's kind of the point of the article is that these shows have made it more popular to seek out dude ranch vacations.
Well, I should... It wasn't a true, like, go out and rustle cattle dude ranch. It was set up like an Old West town. So your room would have been like the bank on a street, like out of a movie set.
That's kind of cool.
And then they had a chuck wagon for the breakfast every morning. You'd go down to the chuck wagon, and you could ride horses and shoot guns and
wow,
yeah,
yeah,
that's pretty fun.
That's great. Sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
Are you raising your hand?
No, I had something in my eye.
Oh, you looked like you were asking to talk,
no.
But you were talking.
Nope. Oh, is that not how this works?
Yeah, no.
I've got something to say. I'm just going to go.
Okay, last then, serious question. Have you ever rode a horse naked?
Was the horse naked or me naked?
The horse.
The answer to that is yes.
You have? Like bareback?
No, the horse was... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, without a saddle?
Yeah.
It's hard to get up there.
Yeah. That's fine. We don't need a better answer.
That's not how I almost died, though. Thanks for asking.
Oh, great.
I expressed shock on my face.
Now we got a story.
But, story. He wanted to tell the story.
Tell the story, obviously. Go ahead.
I've never seen a rattlesnake in person, but once you hear one, you'll never forget it.
It's a great start to an article.
Our horses were walking. The guy who was our guide had trained his horse not to spook at snakes. So he went ahead of everybody. Well, he missed one because I was next in line. And then you hear the ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And my horse jumped straight up in the air and sideways about 4 feet. And I ended up hanging off the side of him, almost underneath him. But I held on. And in Arizona, if you didn't know, especially in Tombstone, Arizona, a lot of rocks and cactuses, and I could have been hurt badly, but I held on to the horse, and I survived, and I'm here today to talk about it.
Was the near-death experience the fact that you were by a rattlesnake, or the fact that you could have gotten, like,
both.
Poked by a cactus?
I could have fallen off and poked myself on a cactus, skinned my elbow on a rock, and been eaten by a rattlesnake. All of that could have happened.
That was not a bad story.
No.
I'll give you that. But the problem is, he leads almost every story with, let me tell you about the time I almost died. I'm not kidding. There's once that he's like, oh, I have a life-threatening disease called sleep apnea. He laughs because he knows it's true.
Yeah, it's true. I milk it a little bit.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be back. Well, I've been waiting for this for a long time. The Beatles have a brand new song out. It's called Now and Then. If you have Disney Plus, they have a 12, 15-minute documentary that they released on how this song even happened. So just real briefly, I'm going to play the whole thing here for you. But real briefly, this song was recorded on a tape by John Lennon in the 70s. After he died, this was sent to Paul McCartney, and he had three songs. They were Real Love, Free as a Bird, and Now and Then. Well, two of those, if you recall, came out with the anthology in the 90s. This one didn't. The recording was just not good enough to use. But now, with the two technology the way it is, they were able to pull John Lennon's voice out and use George Harrison's guitar from those anthology sessions. So here it is, the brand new song from the Beatles.
1, 2.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The grand trio in the room of Old Roy, Trisha, and myself. It is time for Serious Questions. Who's ready to go first?
You call it, your show.
Okay, I will call it and I will say Trisha.
Rick Trisha. Rick's my dad's name.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's why I always call you Rick Trisha.
Rick Trisha. That's where that nickname came from. Who knew?
Yep.
Cedar Fair, the parent company of Cedar Point and Six Flags, are in merger talks. Cedar Fair owns 11 amusement parks, including Cedar Point, Canada's Wonderland, Kings Island, Knott's Berry Farm, and Michigan's Adventure. Ooh. Six Flags currently has 27 parks. Serious question. What are they going to call this? Cedar Flags, Six Cedar Flags Fair, Cedar Six Fair Flags, or Flag Six Cedar Fair?
Are you talking about the company or the parks?
What are they going to call the whole thing?
The company.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but really for care. Six Flags, that would change the names of the parks in scenario.
Do all 27 Six Flags parks, I didn't know they own that many, are they all called Six Flags?
Yes.
Or do they call them something else?
They're Six Flags and then
over
sometimes...
Great America.
Yes. Yeah, then there's an addition to them.
But I thought they...
There's actually going to be a new one in Saudi Arabia. With the world's tallest roller coaster coming soon.
Oh, gosh, I gotta go to Saudi Arabia to ride that.
I know, you're a big fan.
Why is everything moving to Saudi Arabia and Qatar?
They have a lot of money.
Yeah,
is why.
Apparently, start their own PGA.
Mm-hmm.
To answer your serious question, I do not care what the company is called at all. But I am interested in the fact that they are going to own all these theme parks. Hey, have you been to some of those? You've been to Cedar Point?
I've been to Kings Island.
Kings Island.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it was pretty good?
Great. Mm-hmm.
I actually
thought quality-wise it was better than Six Flags. Close your ears, Six Flags.
What do you mean?
Cleaner, more, I don't know, maybe the layout was a little bit better.
Okay.
Now,
there goes that show sponsor.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Six Flags. You're great, but...
Let's hope the corporate structure for Kings Island takes over. Because then we
and
can
not
still
the other way around. Yeah.
Because if it's the Six Flags people, that bridge is burned.
Kings Island had a very Disney-esque feel. Their main drag.
So they're a little bit more about the aesthetic.
And
I've always felt like Six Flags kind of didn't. They went more for the thrill rides than they did for the experience of being in the park.
Yeah, but Kings Island had just as many thrills.
But they just focused
just
a little bit more
like
on...
It felt like the main area felt more downtown Disney than...
Okay. Now I kind of want to go there. Yeah. I mean, I want to go to every single theme park that's ever existed at some point because mm-hmm. I love them. But I also think there are probably too many to do that. And I want to focus on the ones that people recommend. So now I'm kind of interested.
That's
I mean, we've talked about this before, but I kind of forgot about Kings Island. Roy, you want to go next?
Well, you didn't ask my opinion.
Oh, I don't care.
What you should call it.
What do you want to call it?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe just, I'd call it Doug.
You want to call it Doug?
Yeah.
D-O-U-G?
Yeah.
Does that stand for anything?
No, that just popped into my head as a potential name.
It's easy to remember.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's it. That wasn't a bad one. That was actually a pretty good, serious
Thanks,
question.
Roy.
You bet.
I don't know that was a great answer.
No, it never is.
I thought it was pretty good. It was an answer.
Can you imagine being like...
At least he answered.
I'm in charge of one of the biggest theme park conglomerates in the world. What's it called? Doug.
That would be free advertisement because people would talk about that incessantly.
I agree with that. It's a smart marketing move.
The fact that
you're
right.
A businessman, right?
Yep.
Gosh. Yeah, you're right again.
Yep. All right, you ready for my dumb one?
Yep.
Okay. Blue City spending millions to clean migrants' laundry. You aware of this?
It sounds like everything else.
Besides being really clever with their puns, this gives new meaning to money laundering.
Wow.
New York City is shelling out millions of dollars to wash dirty clothes for migrants and local shelters. Free laundry service for migrants is leaving New Yorkers hung out to dry.
I love this.
Local leader said. So, one.
Serious issue, but hilarious puns.
That's right. That's what I mean. Masterclass in puns. A serious question. And no offense, Tricia, but has women's clothing ruined laundry for you? It used to be.
It hasn't when, for me.
When I was young, it was lights and darks. Boom. You're done. One temperature. You throw it in. You wash it. You dry it. You wear it. I can't keep up. There are things that are, no, it's not darks. It's, there's blues and there's greens and there's not even lights anymore.
But you think that the problem is women's clothing? Because I wash my clothes, shirts and pants, all colors together, all on cold.
Yeah,
shirts,
Roy,
and pants.
Get with the times.
I don't separate lights and darks anymore. But what really grinds my gears are those cargos, the men's cargos, because there are so many opportunities to have like a pen in there or receipt.
Well, that's
or,
just part of the fun of it is you never know what you're going to destroy
yeah.
and find. What is hard for me is, well, what temperature does this one get? And this one you can't dry.
All cold. Everything's
all cold.
Cold.
Roy.
This one you can't dry. That one you can dry, but not all the way. You have to dry it part way, and then you got to pull it out and hang it or stretch it over. It's just too much.
All cold. Dry everything on medium.
I dry it on low.
Or low.
Just to be safe.
Yeah.
Dry everything on low.
Wash everything
on cold.
I'm not arguing with the fact that maybe you guys have solved this problem. What I'm saying is, for me, set in my old ways, before electricity, it was hot water, lights and darks. And I was comfortable with that, and I don't ever want to change. And the world is forcing me to...
I want to address the fact that you think that men only wear white or black shirts.
No, that's the category.
I'm wearing a rust-colored shirt right now. Where do you put it?
As he often does, rust.
Really?
That
was because it's basically orange.
Yeah, dark.
It's like a light orange, though. Are you sure? It's,
you got socks and underwear where your lights, everything else was a dark. Didn't matter the material, the color, anything.
Speaking of Doug, I think you've dug yourself into a hole here.
And oh, the puns.
Add that to your puns.
Oh, nailed it.
Yeah. My turn. Dude ranch vacations are seeing an uptick in popularity with more and more people seeking out a chance to ride horses and get up close and personal with cattle underneath the big sky at a sprawling complex in the western United States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever taken a dude ranch vacation?
I have.
I thought you had.
Mm-hmm.
When did you do that?
Several years ago, we went to Tombstone and we stayed on a dude ranch. And I almost died.
This was before the Duttons, though, right?
Yeah.
In Yellowstone. Because that's kind of the point of the article, is that these shows have made it more popular to seek out dude ranch vacations.
Well, I should... It wasn't a true, like, go out and rustle cattle dude ranch. It was set up like an Old West town. So your room would have been like the bank on a street, like out of a movie set.
That's kind of cool.
And then they had a chuck wagon for the breakfast every morning. You'd go down to the chuck wagon, and you could ride horses and shoot guns. And
wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That was pretty fun.
That's great. Sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
Are you raising your hand?
No, I had something in my eye.
Oh, you looked like you were asking to talk,
no.
But you were talking.
Nope. Was that not how this works?
Yeah, no.
I got something to say. I'm just going to go.
Okay, last then, serious question. Have you ever rode a horse naked?
Was the horse naked or me naked?
The horse.
The answer to that is yes.
You have? Like bareback?
No, the horse was... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, without a saddle?
Yeah.
It's hard to get up there.
Yeah. That's fine. We don't need a better answer.
That's not how I almost died, though. Thanks for asking.
Great. I expressed shock on my face.
Now we got a story.
But, he wanted to tell the story.
Tell the story, obviously. Go ahead.
I've never seen a rattlesnake in person, but once you hear one, you'll never forget it.
It's a great start to an article.
We were walking... our horses were walking. The guy who was our guide had trained his horse not to spook at snakes. So he went ahead of everybody. Well, he missed one because I was next in line. And then you hear the ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And my horse jumped straight up in the air and sideways about 4 feet. And I ended up hanging off the side of him, almost underneath him. But I held on. And in Arizona, if you didn't know, especially in Tombstone, Arizona, a lot of rocks and cactuses. And I could have been hurt badly. But I held on to the horse, and I survived, and I'm here today to talk about it.
So were you, was the near-death experience the fact that you were by a rattlesnake, or the fact that you could have gotten, like,
both.
Poked by a cactus?
I could have fallen off and poked myself on a cactus, skinned my elbow on a rock, and been eaten by a rattlesnake. All of that could have happened.
That was not a bad story.
No.
I'll give you that. But the problem is, he leads almost every story with, let me tell you about the time I almost died. I'm not kidding. There's once that he's like, oh, I have a life-threatening disease called sleep apnea. He laughs because he knows it's true.
Yeah, it's true. I milk it a little bit.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be back. Well, I've been waiting for this for a long time. The Beatles have a brand new song out. It's called Now and Then. If you have Disney Plus, they have a 12, 15-minute documentary that they released on how this song even happened. So just real briefly, I'm going to play the whole thing here for you. But real briefly, this song was recorded on a tape by John Lennon in the 70s. After he died, this was sent to Paul McCartney, and he had three songs. They were Real Love, Free as a Bird, and Now and Then. Well, two of those, if you recall, came out with the anthology in the 90s. This one didn't. The recording was just not good enough to use. But now, with the two technology the way it is, they were able to pull John Lennon's voice out and use George Harrison's guitar from those anthology sessions. So here it is, the brand new song from the Beatles.
1, 2.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Well, I've been waiting for this for a long time. The Beatles have a brand new song out. It's called Now and Then. If you have Disney Plus, they have a 12, 15-minute documentary that they released on how this song even happened. So just real briefly, I'm going to play the whole thing here for you. But real briefly, this song was recorded on a tape by John Lennon in the 70s. After he died, this was sent to Paul McCartney, and he had three songs. They were Real Love, Free as a Bird, and Now and Then. Well, two of those, if you recall, came out with the anthology in the 90s. This one didn't. The recording was just not good enough to use. But now, with the two technology the way it is, they were able to pull John Lennon's voice out and use George Harrison's guitar from those anthology sessions. So here it is, the brand new song from the Beatles.
1, 2.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.